you glad you don't have to carry those burdens around with you anymore. Stand with me if you're able today as we get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. If you got your Bibles, if you could meet with me in the book of Acts, the third chapter in the first verse, Acts 3 and 1. Before we turn to the word of the Lord, amen, we would like to extend a welcome from our BBA family to Sister Lissy's son. God bless you, sir. So good to have you today. And our friend, Lord bless you, sis. So good to have you here with us today. Amen. But if you'll meet me in the book of Acts, the third chapter and the first verse, I am fully convinced that I'm in tune with God today. And everything that has happened from the moment that this service opened, Brother Paul, there is a theme in this house. There's a theme in this house. Amen. And I'm so thankful. You know, little did Brother Doug know, because we haven't even had 2 seconds of conversation since we walked in the door today. But the title of my message that I want to speak to this body today is New Year, Same God. New Year, Same God. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's just a beautiful thing when the kingdom of God comes in alignment. Amen. And you know that God wants to speak into our lives. Amen. I know we're going to hear from the Lord today. Acts, the third chapter and the first verse. Shout yes when you get there. Amen. We are so thankful for all of you who contribute so much to this church last year. Man, I tell you, there are so many laborers and workers in this church to make it go round, and we appreciate each and every one of you. And I would love to say one more time, thank you from my wife and I, amen, for the gift in the room down in southern Indiana at Clifty Falls. We do truly appreciate you and your love towards us and the way that you honor and respect us. We love this body, and we thank God for you so much. Acts 3 and 1, the word of the Lord says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And the Bible says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." The third verse, "Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, the lame man asked an alms of them. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon this lame man with John, speaks to the man and tells him," he says, "look on us. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them. He was paying attention to what Peter was saying. And he was expecting to receive something from Peter and John. But what he got is not what he was expecting. Can you shout, yeah? What he got was not what he was expecting. Amen. He was expecting something of them. And verse 6 says that Peter then said unto the man, he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name." Everybody say, "in the name." "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And the Bible says immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple with them, into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, "And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder." They were filled with amazement at that which had happened unto him. "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John." How many know he was a grateful man? He held Peter and John. And while he held Peter and John, all of the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. This miracle that happened to this lame man at the gate called Beautiful led to Peter's legendary sermon from Solomon's porch. It was here, for the first time, Peter challenged the religious establishment. It was one thing for him to preach the gospel message in the upper room, Brother Paul, where the disciples were gathered together and people were all around and souls were saved. But now he's in the midst of the Jews. Now he's in the midst of the establishment. Now he's in the midst of the religious leaders. And it was here that Peter challenged the religious establishment. And for the first time, the gospel was to be preached publicly in the temple complex. What Peter was saying was essentially, this is the same God. This is the same God that the prophets prophesied about. This is the Messiah. I want to preach to you today for just a few moments on this simple thought. New year, same God. New year, same God. Can we clap our hands all over this house today and magnify the Lord together? Amen. Give him a high praise. Come on. Somebody open your mouth and say hallelujah. Clap those hands unto the Lord and give him high praise today. Amen. He's still worthy. He's still worthy, and we still love him today. Amen. As it's a new year, but we're still serving the same God. Lord bless you. You may be seated for a few moments today. New year, same God. Here we are again at the beginning of another year. And there's a simple thought in my mind, amen, today that I believe that is in tune with God. It's a simple thought, yet it's a powerful truth. New year, same God. Amen. It reminds me of the scripture in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, that tells us, Brother Doug mentioned it a while ago, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. How many know he changes not? Turn to your neighbor and say, he changes not. Amen. He changes not, but he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. And in our text that we're reading today, we're reading about a new beginning for the kingdom of God. Amen. It isn't just the disciples that are gathered together here. Amen. But they are actually on the grounds of the temple, and the gospel is being declared publicly. This isn't just a 120 that met up in an upper room where the Holy Ghost fell. But now we're out in the public and we're declaring that there's a plan of salvation. Amen. That the one who has come is the one who was prophesied about, and Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. And here we are. It's a new beginning for the kingdom of God. The first time the establishment was challenged publicly. And it also, another very significant thing is that it also marks the beginning of Peter's persecution. Amen. It marks the beginning of Peter's persecution. How many know that every year is a opportunity for a fresh start? Come on. It's amazing. Every year we all come up with these New Year's resolutions. How many of you made up in your mind this year that you ain't even going to make a resolution? Because you done made so many resolutions and never kept any of them. Some people just say, I done give up on resolutions. Amen. I was reading this week about a man was writing about, he belonged, in a book that I was reading about, he belonged to a gym. And every year in January, they go out and they purchase a bunch of rental equipment and they bring it in and they stack their machines deep. By February 1st, they call the rental company and they tell them to come and get all of the machines that they rented, because everybody's New Year's resolution is out of their system. Amen. And I ain't going to lie, I've been getting up early. I joined the 5 a.m. club this month, Sister Amy. Amen. To get up and break a sweat. Amen. And get my mind functioning early in the morning. And I'm hoping and praying that I'll be able to stick with it this year. And then I won't be one of the reasons why they got to come and get the rental equipment back. But every year we make New Year's resolutions, and because it's an opportunity for a fresh start. How many love fresh starts? I love fresh starts. My daughter Alexis starts a brand new job this week at Sharp Electronics. Amen. And she's excited about a new start. I asked her this week, I said, are you excited about a brand new beginning? She said, I am, but I'm a little anxious. How many know new starts are fun, new beginnings, amen. Fresh starts are exciting, but they also make you a little anxious. How many remember the first time you walked into the house of God? And amen, even though you was excited to be there, and even though you were excited about the hair standing up on the back of your neck and the Spirit of God sweeping through the house, amen, it makes you a little bit anxious about where the Lord's going to take you to. Amen, because we know that we walk by faith and not by sight, right? And we don't know exactly where God's going to take us, so it makes us a little bit anxious, but every year is an opportunity for a fresh start. But the truth is, so is every week. So is every week. Every week's an opportunity for a new start. We worship in this church on Sunday, not because we esteem one day above another, but for the most part, Western civilization chooses Sunday to worship God because it is the beginning of the week. Amen. Those who try to keep the ceremonial Sabbath under the law, they worship on Saturday. Let me tell you something. I don't want the Lord to be the last thing in my life. I want Him to be the first thing in my life. Amen. So we choose Sunday, the first day of the week, to come into God's house and to lift up His name and to give Him the praise and the glory that He deserves. In fact, I understand today, and I'm not critical today of those who stayed home during service today because of the snowstorm that we are on the very beginning of. But the truth of the matter is, even if we had, for the safety of this church, canceled this service, I was going to have to drive over here, Brother Chris, and if I had to, I'm going to have to get my shovel out and shovel a path over here, because this is the first Sunday of the year, and I'm going to tell you, I got to be here. Whether we're having service, whether the snowstorm is coming, I got to feel like I gave my first fruits unto the Lord. Amen. So here we are on the first Sunday of the year, magnifying the Lord, lifting up His name, giving Him praise and glory. Amen. And honoring Him with the very first baptism of the year. Amen. That's why we're here today. Amen. Is to lift up His name and to give Him our first fruits. Amen. Sunday is the first day of the week, a new beginning. Actually, every day presents an opportunity. If you want to get technical, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing I do before my feet hit the floor is say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for another day. You know why? Because I want to give Him my first fruits. I want my first moments of my day, amen, to belong to the Lord. Amen. And I'm not being critical today, but when I get my paycheck on Friday, one of the first things I do, in fact, I set it where it comes out automatically. And a lot of times I get my alert in the wee hours of the morning that my tithe already has gone to the church. Why? Because I want to give Him my first fruits. Before I eat a cheeseburger at McDonald's, I want to give glory to the Lord in the giving of my substance. Amen. So a new beginning, amen. New beginnings are so important. Every day presents an opportunity to us for a new beginning. The significance of new beginnings. The very first three words of the Bible are in the beginning. How many know God loves beginnings? God loves new beginnings. God loves fresh starts. God loves transitions. God loves these things. The very first three words of the Bible are in the beginning. Why? Because God loves to give new beginnings. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new, everybody say new. He is a new creature. Amen. All things are passed away. Ain't you glad that your old life is gone out of you? Ain't you glad that the things that you used to get caught up in, the things that used to pull you down, the things that used to hold you back, amen, all those old things are passed away, and behold, the Bible says, all things are made new. God loves new beginnings, amen, so he makes everything new in our lives, amen. There's nothing, one of the things that, there's nothing that I enjoy more, one of the things that keeps me going as a pastor, amen, is watching people's lives transform. Watching the newness of God come upon them. Watching the excitement and the newness and the Spirit of God begin to give them direction. Watching the old things begin to fall off like scales off of their life. The things that have plagued them for so long. The things that have held them back for so long. That is one of the things that keeps me going as a pastor. Amen. Through all of the busyness, through all of the craziness, through all of the hard times, watching you, watching the newness of God in your life, watching new beginnings and fresh starts every single week in this church keeps me going as a pastor. Amen. And you know, people often tell me how excited they are to be in this church, and I tell them, I promise you, you're not as excited as I am about you being in this church, because it's the fuel that keeps me going. It's the excitement that keeps me hungry for more of God, watching him transform lives, watching him turn people into new creatures in Christ Jesus, and watching the scales, and watching the problems, and watching the old habits and all of these things that hold people back fall off of their life. Amen. It's an exciting thing to behold, because our God loves new beginnings. Our God loves new beginnings. So he makes all things new. In the Bible, we see, amen, God as the God of new beginnings over and over again. Our Bible is replete with new beginnings. The truth is, church, he's the one that offers us hope. He's the one that gives us a fresh start. Amen. When we're feeling down and out, when we're feeling discouraged, when we feel like things aren't going our way, when we get a bad diagnosis. Amen. And by the way, I went to my oncologist this week. Amen. It was my follow-up from my biopsy, and the oncologist released me this week. Praise God. Amen. So thank God for new beginnings. Amen. God is good today. Can you clap your hands and give him praise all over this house today? Our God loves new beginnings. Amen. And our Bible is replete with new beginnings. God shows us example after example after example. He's the one who welcomes us with open arms. He's the one who says, let me give you a brand new start. Let me give you a new beginning. Let me open a new chapter in your life. I know that you're discouraged by the last one and it didn't close out the way that you wanted to, but let me give you some hope. How many know he's where our hope comes from? Come on, we lift our eyes unto the hills whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth today. Our God holds new beginnings in his hands today. He's the one who welcomes us with open arms, no matter what we've done, no matter how many times we've failed, no matter how many times we come up short, no matter how many times we took the wrong path, the Lord is there to say, let me give you a brand new start. Let me give you a brand new beginning. Amen. Our God is the one who holds those beginnings in his hands. You know, there's an old cliche that says that the greatest ability is availability. Now, many times we hear some goofy cliches, but this one happens to be true. The greatest ability is availability. Can you say amen? We need to be available to God, and sometimes cliches are true. Sometimes they're goofy. Sometimes they don't mean anything at all, but the truth is when God wants to use you, you got to be available. I got one amen. I thought that was pretty good. The truth is, when God wants to bless you, you got to be available. The truth is, when God wants to heal you, you got to be available. The truth is, the greatest ability that we could ever have in our lives is to be available for God's use. Because he ain't going to bless you if you ain't available. He ain't going to strengthen you if you ain't available. He ain't going to heal you if you ain't available today. When God wants to use you, to bless you, to heal you, you got to be available. And listen to me, you got to be available because many times the Lord requires something of the one who is asking. Now, that's not a popular notion. We want God to give to us. We want God to bless us. We want God to heal us. We want God to help us fix our marriage. We want God to restore our relationship with our children or Uncle Tom or Aunt Sally or whoever it is you got a strain with, right? We want something from God, but it ain't a popular notion to hear that sometimes God requires something of us. The reason why we got to be available to God is because sometimes the Lord will ask something of the individual who wants to be healed. I'll give you some examples. To the man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth thy hand. Come on, to the lame man at the gate called beautiful, he said, come on, stand forth. Huh? Stand forth. Come on, how many times did God tell people, stretch forth thy hand, stand forth, go wash in the pool of Siloam, right? So many times when someone was expecting something from the Lord gave them a command. Because something was required of them. Rise up, take up thy bed and walk. How many remember when they brought the man, they lowered him down through the roof. He said, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. Amen. We got to be available to God because sometimes when God wants to give us something, he's going to ask us for something. And sometimes our blessings are tied to our obedience unto the Lord today. So your greatest ability will always be availability. Make yourself available to God. Sometimes the Lord is going to require something of you, and the Lord cannot require something of you if you're not available. I wonder what would happen if everybody in this church had a New Year's resolution that said, in 2025, I'm going to make myself available unto God. I wonder what would happen if everybody in this church, come on, those that are here and those that are not here, those that are sick, those that are staying home because of the snowstorm, I wonder what would happen in 2025 if we all had the New Year's resolution said, I'm going to make myself available for God's use in his kingdom in 2025. Let me tell you what would happen. The windows of heaven would open up and God would be able to pour out a blessing on your life that you cannot contain. And you cannot receive. Your cup would begin to run over. Your relationships would be stronger. Your marriage would be healthier. Amen. All of the blessings of God would begin to flow into your life. Revival would be constant in this church if we would make ourselves available to God and for his use. If we would just say, I'm going to be available to invite somebody to the house of the Lord. I'm going to be available, amen, to pray with somebody at the altar. I'm going to be available to that soul who's hungry for God and needs a home Bible study. I'm going to be available to come to the morning session at church and not just the afternoon session. I'm going to be available to realize that midweek matters more than I ever thought it did. I'm going to be available to God. I want God to use me. I want to be a part of the plan and the kingdom of God. In 2025, I tell you what would happen, God would give you a new beginning. I tell you what would happen, you would receive strength beyond your wildest dreams. I tell you what would happen, you'd be spiritually healthy. Huh? You'd feel like you were close to God and not distant from God. If you would just make yourself available to God, I tell you what would happen. If you make yourself available to God, he's going to give you a miracle. It might not be one that'll cause you to walk. It might not be one that causes blind eyes to open. But let me tell you something. The plan of salvation, the birth of a child, a healthy marriage, all of these things are miracles today. Come on, all these things are miracles today. And if we make ourselves available to God, He's going to give us a miracle and He's going to give us a new beginning. Clap your hands unto the Lord if you're ready for a new beginning today. I'm ready for a new beginning today. Amen. Our Bible is replete with examples of new beginnings. Job made himself available to God. He was there when the sons of God had gathered themselves together and the enemy came also. Huh? Come on in. Job made himself available to God, and you know what? He got a new beginning when the enemy attacked him and took everything that he loved out of his life. Come on. Wouldn't it be powerful? Wouldn't it be great to know, Brother Doug, that if we could have a full understanding that no matter what happens in our life, God is able to restore us. Huh? No matter how bad things got, no matter how low the valley is that we walk through, God is able to restore us. Job gives us that example. Joseph got a new beginning after he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and God turned evil for good. His own brothers sold him into slavery. His own brothers turned their back on him, threw him into a pit, sold him to a band of people who was coming along the way. And he ends up in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house, and the Lord turned evil for good. My God. Our Bible is replete with examples of new beginnings. God wants to give us a new beginning today. Israel got a new beginning after 400 years of bondage in Egypt. 400 years. You're talking about a whole different generation of people coming out than went in. But the Lord gave them a new beginning, and I can only imagine the excitement as they come up the banks of the Jordan River and began to dance in the promised land that God had told them He was going to give them. But we serve a God of new beginnings today. And the Lord gave Israel a new beginning when He brought them out of the land of Egypt. Why? It's a new year, but it's the same God. Why? Because He changes not. Why? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. What He did for them, He can do for us. Come on, and if He spared Job, He'll spare you. Come on, if He blessed Israel, He'll bless you. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's a new year, but we still serve the same God today. David got a new beginning after he messed up with Bathsheba. How many ever messed up? Hopefully not with Bathsheba. But we've all messed up in our lives. David, come on, he thought his life was over. He had put Uriah on the front lines. He had taken a man's life that was innocent. He had done the unthinkable thing. The Lord took his child away from him. And you know what? David thought his life was over, but God gave him a new beginning and restored him to the throne of Israel. And God can do the same thing for you today. Hallelujah. He can do the same thing for you today. David got a new beginning. How many remember Saul? Saul got a new beginning when the Lord not only changed his name to Paul, but when He filled him with the Holy Ghost, restored his sight, sent a man named Ananias to lay his hands on him and pray that he would receive the Holy Ghost. The Lord gave Saul a brand new beginning on the road to Damascus. This lame man that we read about today, at the gate called Beautiful, there's no doubt in my mind he faced daily rejection. How many of you give money to every one of those people that's standing at the off-ramp on the highway who's begging for money? Every day, multiple times, you probably drive by them and don't give them alms. So I have no doubt in my mind, and I'm not saying that you should, that's not a dig. All right, but I have no doubt in my mind today that this man who was laying at the gate called Beautiful faced, Brother Josh, rejection on a daily basis. Every single day of his life, he fought with himself. Why do I keep going to that gate that they call beautiful? It ain't so beautiful to me because people just keep walking by me and not giving me what I need. Every single day of his life, most likely he was faced with rejection. He laid outside a place that he was forbidden by King David to even go inside. He was not even allowed, because of his physical condition, to even walk through the doors and to go in. Here he is in a position. He has to do the unthinkable. He had no choice but to beg. It was humiliating. It was downgrading. It was a necessary evil, but it was something that he had to do, Brother Joe, every single day of his life. To ask somebody to position him as closely as he could to the house of God, as close as he was allowed to be. Just set me as close as you can to where they won't give me grief. Every single day of his life, he faced rejection. How many know you got to position yourself for prosperity? How many know sometimes getting what you need to get from God is as simple as repositioning where you are? You got to position yourself for prosperity. This man knew, come on, that every day of his life he was going to face rejection. How many have been to the house of God and somebody didn't shake your hand? How many have been to the house of God and somebody didn't pray for you when you thought they should? Every single day of his life, this man faced rejection. But every day he continued to go to the house of God. It was his way of attending church. Every day he was there. Every day he was fighting the rejection. Every day he was facing his own mind and the voices in his own head. And he was telling somebody, place me as close as you can to the house of God that I'm allowed to be. You got to position yourself for prosperity. What if he had decided that? What if he had decided that day, it's not worth it? What if he had decided that day, I'm not feeling it today. I don't want to go to the house. I don't want to go to the house of God. I don't want to go to the gate that's called beautiful. I don't want to watch people walk by me and not give me what I need. I don't want to beg. I don't want this necessary evil in my life today. What if he had chosen that day as the day to not go to the gate? He would have missed his miracle. He would have missed his miracle. That's why we preach faithfulness to the house of God. You never know when the Lord's going to show up and give you exactly what you've been asking for. That's why we got to be faithful. That's why we got to be available to God today. Because you never know. I'm telling you, he would have missed out on the supernatural. He would have missed out on his life-changing moment. If you want your miracle, you got to position yourself for a miracle. If you want your miracle, you got to position yourself. You got to be available to God. You got to make yourself ready for the supernatural. You got to expect the supernatural. You got to position yourself to receive. That's why we teach people, when you're looking to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't fall down in an old mourner's position. You stand up, you lift your hands to God, and you stand in a receiving position like God's going to give you something. Huh? Sometimes it's as simple as positioning ourselves for our own prosperity. God knows what he wants to give us. We just got to be in the right place at the right time and make ourselves available to God today. If you want your miracle, if you want a new beginning, if you want a fresh start, I would encourage you in 2025 to make yourself available to God. Make yourself available to the kingdom of God. Tell the Lord, Lord, whatever it is. Look, I've had plans and dreams and goals for my life, things that went out the window, things that I wanted to accomplish. But when I realized that God's plan was so much greater than my plan, I threw my plan in the trash and I started walking by faith and not by sight. I started repositioning myself and making myself available to God. And it's been the greatest journey of my life today. Make yourself available to God. Your greatest ability is availability. And if you want God to bless you, if you want a fresh start, if you want to be used by God, make yourself available to God. I'm about to come if the musicians would or I'm about to close it, the musicians would come quickly. You know, our lives can be found in Acts, the third chapter. How many have ever heard someone tell you your life can be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Our lives can be found in Acts, the third chapter. Someone on the way to prayer runs across someone on the way to nowhere. Your life can be found in Acts, the third chapter. Every single day of our lives, Sister Laura, we come across people. We run across people whose lives are broken, whose lives are hurting, whose lives are a mess. They're counting on the one passerby who has what they need to stop and to say, I might not have what you think I need, but I know what you need. Come and go with me to the house of the Lord. Every single day of our lives, we find ourselves crossing people who are headed nowhere. They have no purpose in their life. They have no goals in their life. They have no dreams in their life. They have all but given up on life altogether. Every single day of our life, we come across these people. We pass these people whose lives are filled with needs. We have what they need. We have the power to lead them to their miracle. Church, it's a new year, but we serve the same God. Raise your hand in this house today if the Lord met your needs last year. Raise your hand in this house if the Lord did the unthinkable for you last year. Let me tell you something, 2025 ain't going to be no different. He didn't fail you then, and he's not going to fail you now. In fact, if you'll increase your faith, if you'll walk by faith and not by sight, if you'll make yourself more available to God, I come to tell you that your blessings are going to increase and not decrease. Come on, we just got to have it in our mind today. Lord, I would decrease so that you can increase in my life. Lord, I want to be available to you in 2025. Stand with me all over this house today. Church, it's a new year, but we're serving the same God today. Sometimes we get so intimidated by what we don't have. Come on, sometimes we get so intimidated by what we don't have instead of having the boldness, amen, that is rooted in what we do have. We need to be looking at what God has done for us instead of what we're waiting on God to do for us. So many times we get intimidated by what we don't have. We look at the need more than we do the blessing. Can I tell you today, you're an ambassador for Christ. You have, let me tell you something, if you really realized what people are going through in this world, if you really realized how the suicide hotlines phones are ringing off the hook, if you realized today that the therapist can't get enough people in that need the help, if you really realized how blessed you were today, you'd be thanking God every day of your life for the goodness of God that follows you, that pursues you every single day of your life. You'd be thanking him today. You'd be giving him glory today. You're an ambassador for Christ. You're a child of the King. You serve the one who holds new beginnings in his hands. But if you do the same this year as you did last year, you will receive the same this year as you did last year. But if you make up in your mind, it's a new year. I want to grow in Christ. I'm going to make myself more available. I'm going to make myself more available to the Lord. Can I tell you today that the Bible did not say these signs shall follow Peter? The Bible did not say these signs shall follow John. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. Them that believe, that's you, Sister Bree, that's you, Brother Paul, that's you, Sister Ruby, that's you, Sister Maddie, come on, that's you, Brother Elisha, come on, that's you, that's you, that's you, that's you, to them that believe. they'll drink of the deadly thing and it won't harm them. In my name, these signs shall follow them that believe. Make yourself available to the Lord in 2025. May God has not changed. Our God has not changed. Turn to your neighbor and say, our God has not changed. Let's make ourselves available to the Lord. Let's enjoy new beginnings and fresh starts, and let's make 2025 the best year we've ever had in our life. It can be just that if we will make ourselves available to the Lord. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song as Sister Lissy prepares for baptism today. Amen. All over this house, these altars are open. If you want to close out the first Sunday of the year in your seat, you're more than welcome to do it. But as your pastor, I would make a strong recommendation that you get out of that seat right now and you walk up here and you begin 2025 at the front of this church. Amen. At an altar of prayer and say, Lord, I'm embarking on the new journey. I'm going to be more available to you this year than I have ever been in my entire life. Lord, I want you to use me for your glory. These altars are open.